Hey, it's exciting to be with you again. We love the presence of the Lord, don't we? I was just thinking, you know, in the midst of the presence, there's kingdom. That's where kingdom happens, isn't it? Because God says, I'll set up my throne in the midst of the praises of my people. And so without the presence, we're done for. But I love pursuit of his presence because kingdom is here. And anything can happen when the king is enthroned. The king is welcomed. And so wow, it's always a privilege to bring the Word of God. It's not something you ever take lightly or take for granted just because you've been before. It's a privilege to be asked every single time. And because we're sharing Jesus, we're sharing the bread of life, which actually changes our lives. It actually does something in the realm of the Spirit. And so I'm very excited that the Lord has given me a word to bring today. And fresh from the heart of God, from the throne of God. And I believe it's going to move some things in our life. It's already started moving some things in my life. That's always a good sign. If God can change me, he can change anybody. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're ready for change. Are you sure? Change is the name of the game. I mean, you're finding yourself for 6 or 7 weeks here, Pastor Ray and Pam overseas on a very timely break for them, I believe. And so change is the name of the game, isn't it? And we just have to be able to flow with it. And thank God for his grace. We'd be pretty stuffed without his grace, wouldn't we? Hey, just share a little testimony. I think many of you know we're part of the healing rooms, and we've got a healing room set up now in Onehunga. We've been given the use of an upper room. So we're there Tuesday, Thursday mornings and Thursday nights. And we had a couple come Tuesday morning, elderly couple, been married 53 years. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? 53 years. And they both wanted some ministry. I think in her case, it was she'd injured her right shoulder. And in his case, he'd got hit with some kind of virus about 5 months ago. And this thing just hadn't broke loose. He'd been suffering all kinds of symptoms for 5 months. And so we got praying, and especially praying for him, we just had a real glory time, didn't we? That, you know, when the glory comes and you just know God has moved. And so we called the wife to come into the prayer room and say, come on, we're just going to have a praise party now. Anyway, we got a phone call Thursday afternoon from the wife, and she said, you wouldn't believe what happened the next day. And she began to just list off 3 things that had taken place. And then she rang me back Friday afternoon, and she said, guess what? She said, I woke up this morning and my shoulder was completely healed. Praise God. And she said, I had a bit of a dilemma because I was booked to go to the radiology and the physio. So she said, I thought I'd better cancel that. So she did. She cancelled her appointment. And she said, husband is beginning to recover. One of the symptoms has completely gone. So he's on the mend too. And like I said, when the glory comes like that and the spirit of praise hits, you know God's moved. God has done something. His kingdom is at work. But I like those testimonies that, you know, we don't actually see something happen necessarily, visibly, you know, manifestation. But 3 days later, she wakes up healed. Isn't that awesome? I love that. Praise God. Now, I went through a season where I opened my Bible up to a particular scripture every single morning for about 6 weeks. And because the scripture he gave me was just loaded with something, I didn't know what, and I thought he was going to tell me. But morning after morning, I just opened my Bible, and this one scripture just kept feeding me, but at the same time provoking me, because I knew it was loaded. God's, this thing's going to blow soon. Anyway, after about 6 weeks, I was up in the upper room. Saturday mornings, I often go and pray there in the healing room. And the download came. And I'll tell you what, I got so excited. And I received a prophetic word from the Lord, which I'm going to share today, because I believe it's for more than just one place. And I just, you know, I just want to encourage you with that. If you have a scripture that you just keep getting drawn to, yet wouldn't have a clue, what does it mean? Just keep going there. If it's feeding you, if it's provoking your spirit, just keep on and just keep feeding off it as long as it feeds you. And I tell you, light will come through. God will do something with that word. It's not always quantity, is it? Sometimes just quality. You just hang in there. And so let's come to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. And the title of this message is Accessing Heavenly Justice. Brother Terry already knew that because he sang that song, Dancing Upon Injustice. And where's Terry? Where is he? Oh, he's through that way, is he? Okay. So Terry knew where we were heading in the spirit, dancing upon injustice. So Jeremiah 9, 23, 24, can anything good come out of Jeremiah? What a faithful man of God he was. Didn't see a lot of fruit, but he was faithful to speak the word of the Lord. And so I'm only reading 23 for contrast. 24 is my message, but 23 says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. That's a good scripture, isn't it? That was the one I opened to for 6 weeks, waiting expectantly. And so I did a little bit of looking up and such. Like the word loving kindness there, the Lord says, right now in the earth, I am exercising a thing called loving kindness. That's good news, isn't it? That word in the Hebrew is the word chesed. Anybody heard of the word chesed? Hasid, sometimes they say. It's a Hebrew word meaning covenant love. It's the agape of the Old Testament, if you like. It's God's unconditional covenant love and commitment of faithfulness to you and I, whatever. Okay? So God, right now, even at this moment in time, he is exercising, he's executing his loving kindness in your life. Just because that's who he is. Just because he can't help himself but be who he is. All right? So goodness, kindness, and faithfulness, that's what God is doing right now. We always want to know, what's God doing? Well, this is what he's doing. He's exercising loving kindness right now. But he's also exercising justice. Okay? Your Bible might say judgment. A better translation really is justice. Okay? And he's also revealing his righteousness, okay, which is his son Jesus. He delights to reveal his son Jesus. And it says here that God takes pleasure in these things, or he delights to do these things. A little bit of relationship 101 here. How do you get to know and understand somebody? Find out what they delight in. Find out what they enjoy doing, and you'll get to understand something about what motivates that person. And so to understand and know our Father a little better, what does our Father delight in? He delights to show love. He delights to show his goodness, all right? Some people are convinced he delights in judgment. He delights to get you if you step out of line too far. No, not at all. God delights in loving kindness. He's a loving Father. And he delights in justice. You know, I love the word justice. It's something just really getting a revelation of heavenly justice. There are three justice systems that we could talk of this morning. The first one is the worldly justice system. Okay, we've got courts and law and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, we should not ignore that at all. Romans 13, if we ignore that, we do so at our own peril. But they do the best with the facts that they have. Amen. They don't always get it right. Sometimes people get framed and locked up unjustly. But by and large, they do the best they can with the facts that they have. But then there's another justice system, which would really be the old covenant system of justice. Anybody know how that works? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. All right? So that was the justice system of the old covenant, all right, which we're coming out of and hopefully coming out of quickly. But then there's another justice system, which I call the justice system of heaven, which is the highest justice of all. And it is available to whosoever would believe in Jesus Christ to access that justice system, all right? And, you know, how many followed the Bali 9 situation a couple of weeks ago? The ringleaders got shot, got executed over in Indonesia. And because they had trying to traffic heroin out of Indonesia, etc., so they got locked up and then got executed. But everything points to the fact that one of them, Andrew Chan, actually got born again in prison. And not only that, he was getting other people born again. I think he was becoming like a pastor in the prison. And so in light of what God had done in his life, he was seeking to perhaps escape the gun and just serve a life imprisonment where he could just pastor the prison for the rest of his life, sort of thing. Okay, so we could say in a sense he got heavenly justice, all right? He got forgiveness from heaven. We know he's in heaven right now. But the earthly justice system let him down. Okay? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, all right? So he's not presently on the planet, he's with the Lord. But he did get heavenly justice. You see, there's a higher justice system that can override the earthly justice system to an extent. Ultimately, we get heavenly justice if we ask for it. Amen? Now, let me ask you a question. What was the greatest injustice that ever took place on planet Earth? Should be fairly easy to answer this question. What is the greatest injustice that ever happened on planet Earth? Jesus being crucified, absolutely, okay? The just for the unjust, the sinless for the sinner, the healthy for the sick, the rich for the poor, all right? He fulfilled the old covenant completely, and so he deserved to walk in every blessing under the old covenant. So what an injustice to then find that the curse of mankind to come upon him after he'd qualified for the blessing. What an injustice for the sin of mankind, Adam's sin, to come upon him when he'd lived a sinless life. I mean, you talk about injustice. That was the greatest injustice that ever was and ever will be. And yet, he did it so that you and I could have a heavenly kind of justice. So that you and I could be completely forgiven, completely healed, completely blessed, completely prospered, and completely walk in our destiny. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? And have fellowship, whereas he was rejected and forsaken. Praise God. So justice, that kind of justice, is available to you and I today through faith in Jesus Christ. It's ours, whether it's healing, whether it's whatever's promised to you in the Word of God. But as we know in a grace church, the key to this whole thing is not to pursue it on our own merits. It's not to try and warrant it on our own merits. No, it's our faith in that system that pleases God only. Father, I just receive it because you said so. That's all he's after. I just believe that Jesus took my place and that I can be healed. I can be saved. I can be forgiven. I can walk in the blessing. I can walk in prosperity, not by anything I've done, but because Jesus went to the cross for me and I can receive his justice. Now, the problem with the second kind of justice system, if we try and work that one, is it's going to backfire on us every time. If we try and work the old law system, the Bible says we'll never get there. And in fact, we're going to really live under a curse because we cannot fulfill the requirements and receive the old covenant blessing. It's impossible. But Jesus did, and Jesus got it for us. In fact, he got a double portion, and he said, come and be an heir with me. Come and be a joint heir with me. Hallelujah. So let's turn over now to Psalm 103. I think we also sang that this morning too. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 103. Stay with some scriptures that we know. Psalm 103, we'll just take it down as far as verse 6, talking about justice. And there's going to be a bit of a twist on the end of this message, so get ready for that. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. How many know that David's soul was complaining a little bit? David's soul was talking to him a bit and saying, doesn't seem to be much happening, you know, where's the presence of God, and where's my breakthrough, etc. David was in one of these places. We read that many times in the Psalms, but what did he do? He started blessing the Lord. Why? Heavenly justice. You want to get God's attention? Just start blessing the Lord. And the judge, the supreme judge of heaven, is going to start performing justice on your behalf. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And here's a list of them. Who forgives all your iniquities? Even that one that happened on the car on the way in. The whole deal. Who heals all your diseases? Even the ones the doctor said can't be healed. He's got it covered. Who redeems your life from destruction. Sometimes our own destructions. How many have had a few of those? Self-destruct. You pushed your self-destruct button. We've all been there. But he redeems our life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness. That's that chesed word again. And tender mercies. That's like a kingly crowning. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This is heavenly justice. It's available now. Verse 6, here is a key. The Lord executes or exercises righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Okay? Jeremiah 9, he's exercising loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth for all who are oppressed. Now, here's some meanings of the word oppressed. Oppressed means to press upon. Anybody in a pressing situation right now, just feel like circumstances of life are pressing in, or the enemy's just pressing in on your mind and trying to crowd you out with some thoughts that are ungodly? It also means to violate, to defraud, to deceive, to be crushed, and to get deceitfully. Okay, that's the meaning of the word oppressed. Justice for the oppressed. Would anybody qualify under any of those meanings of oppression? We wouldn't have to raise our hands. All our hands would be up. We've experienced that, could be experiencing it right now. So is God mindful of the oppression that is coming against his people? Yes, he is. He is. Is God going to stand for it? No, he's not. God wants you free. He's not going to stand for the enemy's tactics in our life. No, he's all about exposing the enemy so the enemy can be rebuked from our life and we can be free. You know, we've got a conference coming up and I'm doing some media work for it. And someone gave me Ron Canole's old DVD. Well, it was a VHS. I put it onto a DVD. Lift Him Up. It's a good oldie, isn't it? It takes you back a bit. But as I was just cutting through it, that song, you know, we've been deceived by the devil too long. Man, I'll tell you what, that just did something in my spirit again after all those years. I thought, yeah, we've been deceived by the devil too long. We're going to tear that devil's kingdom down. Amen? We're going to reclaim everything that devil stole. We're going to tear the devil's kingdom down. Now, here's the word that the Lord brought to me. Are you ready? This is what the Lord said to me in the upper room after 6 weeks of looking at the scripture. This thing exploded, and he said, I am shaking the foundations of injustice. He said, I'm breaking the containment of my people that has been built on an ungodly foundation and that's been holding them back, in Jesus' name. And so I believe God is doing that right now. He's shaking the foundations of injustice. Things that the enemy has successfully built around us and built against us, God says, I've had enough of that. He's going to shake those things to the very foundation and expose the ungodly foundation, not to expose you, but to expose what the enemy has done against you. Because God wants you free to be all that he's called you to be. Amen. Because justice was done on a cross 2,000 years ago. Blood was shed so you and I could be completely free in Jesus' name. So God is doing that. God is shaking. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see some of that in the natural realm as well. That often happens in connection with what God's doing in the realm of the spirit. So hallelujah. Things that have contained our lives, things that the enemy has worked in the darkness, and it's always based on a lie. It's always based on an untruth, okay? And sometimes we're just not aware of what the enemy has done against us, what he's done in the shadows and in the darkness. But we're going to expose him today. Amen? Amen. Now, Peter Robertson was with us a few weeks ago. And do you remember the kind of the gist of the word that he brought in the morning? Someone say praise? Yeah, sing, O barren. This is very much along those lines today, okay? Getting God's attention. We're talking about accessing heavenly justice. So let's go to Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. You can probably tell where this is going. The midnight hour. Anybody face the midnight hour from time to time? Hurry up, God. It's getting dark, getting late. This was a midnight hour situation for Paul and Silas. Now, think about injustice, right? These guys have just given their soul to God, to the ministry. They're out preaching the gospel. They're doing the right thing. And some slave girl, demon-possessed to the max, starts crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God." And it wasn't the sort of advertising they really wanted at that time. Okay. And so anyway, Paul gets a bit ticked off after a few days, and he speaks to the spirit. He says, in the name of Jesus, be gone. And so the spirits come out, and then her bosses get all bent out of shape because now their pocket's empty, right? They've lost their means of income. People do funny things when it hurts their pocket, amen? And so they lost their income, and so they decide they're going to get Paul and Silas put away in the clink. put away in the slammer, the prison. Okay, now, would this be considered an injustice? Yes, it would. Oh, God, I've been serving you all these years, preaching your gospel, and God, why did you allow me to be put in prison? Not just prison, but the worst part of the prison, the inner prison, where the stuff runs underneath your feet, and you're chained with stocks and bonds, and there's no windows, it's dark. God, what did I do to deserve this? I signed up to preach the gospel. I didn't sign up for a prison ministry. Here I am all locked up. I'm restrained. I can't preach the gospel anymore. And so you can imagine the thoughts that might have come against Paul and Silas's mind in this situation. And they could have kind of taken a whole angle of worldly justice, couldn't they? Okay, let's work, Silas, let's work the system. Let's see if we can get ourselves out of here. But they didn't do that. What did they do? They praised and they sang at the midnight hour in stocks and chains with stuff that smelt pretty bad. It says they sang hymns and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, hymns means hymnos, songs of celebration, okay? So they were singing songs of celebration. Why? Because they were counted worthy to suffer for Jesus. And they got God's ear, didn't they? God heard them praising him at the top of their lungs in the inner prison. And what did God do? Heavenly justice responded. Notice it said in verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Woo! What was the word? I am shaking the foundations of injustice. You notice God shook the foundation of the prison? See, God is shaking the foundation of anything that is containing you and I from fulfilling his purpose. He shook that prison at its very foundations and chains came off, doors were open, and they walked out. Well, actually, they didn't quite walk out. They made sure they got some people saved before they did. They didn't want to get that prison guard into trouble. He was about to fall on a sword. In fact, I think Paul said, no, they're going to have to come and get us out themselves. He says, I'm a Roman citizen. There's quite a story to that too. But see, God is shaking the foundations of injustice. But notice their response to injustice. It wasn't complaining. It wasn't God, oh, why me, Lord? Out of all the people, why me? Why am I the one that got stuck in this hole? No. No, they knew God to know that God is a God of justice. And they appealed to the high court of heaven and they sang and they praised God because they knew God was their deliverer. And God shook the foundations. I'll tell you what, there's a real key for us here. Hallelujah. Now, let's just flick over to Genesis 18 now. Genesis 18. Let's talk about Abraham a little bit. This is amazing. In Genesis 18. And this is actually the first time that the word justice is used in the Old Testament. In verse, I guess we'll pick it up from verse 17. So we're in Genesis 18, verse 17. The Lord said, this is the Sodom and Gomorrah judgment deal that's about to go down. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And so Abraham understood something about his father, didn't he? His heavenly father, the Lord, God. He understood that God was the God of justice. And so when God said, Abraham, this is what I'm about to do. I'm about to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham said, no, you're not. He said, far be it from you to do such a thing. Lord, what if there's 50 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah? Would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? I mean, he really got in God's face. Why was he so emboldened to do that? Why did he have so much confidence to do that? Because he knew that God was a God of justice. He knew that God would not do that because God is a God of justice. And of course, they went through an intercession and Abraham got him down to 10. God said, okay, Abraham, I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. If I find 10 righteous, I will not touch that place. Okay. But there wasn't 10, and we know the story. The rest is history, okay? But he knew something about the justice of his father, and it gave him such boldness and confidence in prayer. Friend, this really helped me in the healing rooms to know that when a sick person comes in, that I can immediately say, that's an injustice. That sickness on that person's body, that poverty, whatever it is, that's an injustice. My Father sent his Son to pay the price for that person to be completely well, completely blessed, completely healed. That's justice. What about the unsafe person on the street? Well, sometimes we look at the outside and, you know, they might look pretty rough and might have a list of sins the length of their arm. But God doesn't see that. God sees justice. God sees the blood. God sees what he's done for that person. If only that person could know the good news and just turn to Jesus, they could be free. They could be justified. Amen? Amen. And so, heavenly justice. God said, I'm shaking the foundations of injustice. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 32, whilst we're over there. This is Moses speaking, Deuteronomy 32. This would be the swan song of Moses. This is Moses' song before he departs. Water's getting a bit warm there by the projector fan. And so not a bad innings for Moses. He didn't quite make it to the promised land, but he did make it to 120 years old, and his eye was not dim and his strength was not diminished. I mean, hey, hello, that's an old covenant. This is under the old covenant. If he could achieve 120 under the old and his eyesight was still good and he still had strength, how much more in the new could you and I? You know, God spoke in Genesis 6, he says, man's day shall be 120 years on the earth. How many are going for 120? Yeah. Go for it. Go for it. So this is Moses. Notice here he speaks to the heavens and he speaks to the earth. He says in chapter 32, Deuteronomy 32:1, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain. My speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. There is no injustice in our Heavenly Father. How many are facing a situation right now where there's like an injustice taking place and you're looking for justice? Anybody like to just, yeah, there'd probably be quite a few that would, some kind of injustice has happened right now. And the Lord is saying to you this morning, he is a God of faithfulness and without injustice, and that heavenly justice is on its way into your situation, provided you don't try and work the old system. Okay? Don't try and work the old system. No, do it his way and you'll get his kind of justice. Amen. You know, I was just thinking about justice is so ingrained into who we are because it's part of our DNA in God. And it's like, you know, even as a kid, you know, if a birthday cake's being cut up and we didn't quite get every piece the same size, man, how quick are the kids to say, that's not fair. I got the smallest bit. You know, there's just something so in us that wants justice every time, isn't there? You know, we could think of situations in the news where people stand up, you know, the Springbok tour going back a bit now, but South Africa, the Springbok tour, you know, a great sense of injustice, what was happening in South Africa. People stood up and people got violent about it. You know, why? Because there's such a strong inbuilt sense of justice. We require justice, don't we, on the inside? We say, I must have justice. And that comes from the Father heart of God. I must have justice. Now, this is where I want to twist this a little bit because this is where the Holy Ghost took me, okay? So you're ready for a little twist? I'll tell you a bit of background here. I preached this last Sunday morning at our home church, and then Pastor got up Sunday night, and he's been doing a series on basically uncovering the schemes of the enemy. And he happened to choose last Sunday night to speak on offense, okay, which is big, isn't it, in the body of Christ by and large, offense. And I started getting excited about how God had woven those two messages together. And I said to Christian, I said, you know what, offense is a soulish cry for justice. Think about it. An offense is a soulish cry for justice, okay? Somebody, a brother, a sister, does you wrong, whether it's actually a real wrong or a perceived wrong, there's something inside of us that responds and says, that's an injustice, okay? And very oftentimes our feelings will get hurt, And if we're not in a strong place in the Lord, sometimes we cave in on our feelings, don't we? And say, right, that's it. That's enough, man. I've had enough of that. I've taken enough of this stuff, you know. And I'm going to get justice here. And so what happens is we adopt a soulish cry for justice, okay? And basically what we're trying to do is we're trying to work the old covenant system. We're saying, God, they got me. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Okay? But meanwhile, you struggle under that system. What's God doing to them? They're getting blessed more than ever. Heavenly justice. Okay? Now, you've probably heard this before, that the insanity of offense and unforgiveness is like you drinking poison and hoping the other person's going to die. But actually, the other person thrives. Is it fair? No. Heavenly justice. Was it fair Jesus went to the cross? No. But justice belongs to that other person. Amen. And it belongs to you too. So, what now? Here's the interesting thing. Proverbs 18:19 says that an offended brother is harder to win than a fortified city. Think about the city of Jericho. I mean, the walls of that city were incredibly thick. I mean, you could run chariots around the top of the wall. That's how thick the walls were, okay? So that wall wasn't just going to come down easily, all right? So an offended brother is harder to win than a fortified city, than to break those walls down in the natural. And I had always wondered, why is that the case? And I got my answer this week, because of injustice. Because of this sense and requirement that we have on the inside for justice, that's why it's harder for you to win me back. Because I've got to have justice. God made me that way, and I must have justice. I was wronged, and I want justice. That's why an offended brother is harder to win than a fortified city, okay? But what's the problem? The way I'm going about it, okay? An offense is a soulish cry and demand for justice, all right? But it doesn't work. No, we have to get heaven's justice. You know, Paul and Silas could have got offended at God and got into a soulish situation, but they didn't. They worshiped God because they knew it wasn't from God. Now, let's just think a little bit here. Where does offense come from? Where does it originate from? Who was the first being to ever be offended? Let's go back a bit further. Satan. Satan was the first. Why was he offended? Because God kicked him out of heaven, never to return. And so he lives with a permanent chip on his shoulder. I promise you, he's offended to this day about what happened way back then. Of course, he doesn't dwell in a place of time anyway. He walks around with an offense, a chip on his shoulder, big time, at our Heavenly Father. And so what's his mission in life? His mission is to go around and impart his offense against God to as many people as he can, especially those of the household of God. Am I speaking the truth this morning? Okay. And what is his mission? His mission is to get you and I offended at God. Because the offense may start from brother to brother, sister to sister, brother to sister, sister to brother, husband to wife, wife to husband, husband to child, child to father, etc. It may start there, but when it gets further down the train track, you end up actually being offended against your Heavenly Father. Why? Because you're looking for justice and it hasn't happened. God, all you have to do is flick your finger and the situation could turn around. And so we end up getting offended at the Father, which is exactly what Satan wants. That's what he's trying to achieve, is get you and I offended at God and get us into that soulish realm where we get frustrated, where it doesn't work, where it gets hard. But we're uncovering the tactics of the enemy this morning. We're not unaware of his schemes, the Bible says. We're putting light on his maneuvers. Because I believe that the Lord has called me to share this morning, for even if it was one person, it would be worth sharing. That the enemy has built something in the darkness and God wants you to be free. No, he's not on your case. He loves you. He wants you to come out of that and be truly free. And to receive all that Jesus has done for you on the cross. Hallelujah. Let me just share a little bit of personal testimony. None of us are immune to getting offended. And we've been through an interesting season. You know, we laid down our church towards the end of last year. And, of course, we used to get a bit of income from that. And my wife has a business, etc. And, of course, when the church stopped, man, that side of the income just completely dried up, completely dried up. I mean, one week it was there, the next week it wasn't, and by and large it hasn't, sort of thing. And you're thinking, Lord, you know, I've sown, I've been a faithful tither, I've given when you've prompted me to give. You know, surely now would be the opportune time for a breakthrough, wouldn't it? I mean, Lord, all you have to do is speak to somebody and get that check in the mail, Lord, and I'll just be as happy as Larry. I mean, God, that's all you have to do. And you know, it's funny, isn't it? You can start to get a little bit offended because, you know, God has that power. He has that ability. God, you see the need. You've seen our faithfulness. You know, where's the check, God? Where's the breakthrough? But you know, for years now, my wife and I, it's just me actually, my wife and I have been sensing that the answer is right under our nose, hadn't we? For years we've been saying, we just know it's at hand. God's given us something. You know, God gives seed to the sower, doesn't he? God's given us something. We just can't quite get a handle on it, or maybe we're just not looking there enough. We're looking for the check in the mail. And anyway, we got a phone call just a few weeks ago from one of our past church members and said, look, we want to use all of our garage now. Would you mind coming and collecting the church chairs? We've got 450 church chairs sitting in this person's garage for about 7 years. And you know, God spoke to me and he said, David, he said, I want you to start a business. I want you to use the seed that I've given to you and I want you to start hiring out those chairs. So I looked online, chair hire, party hire, and I found that you could get a very cheap hardware white resin chair. You could hire one of those for a day. It would cost you $3.20. $3.20 for a day. One of those cheap $30 chairs. And we've got $90 chairs, a bit like these. And we got 450 of them. I started doing a little bit of calculations and thinking, hey, Lord, I see where you're at. Lord, thank you for not sending a final payment in the mail. I think I'll take the chair option. That will feed my family every week. And so the grace was there, and we started a business. We've got a website done. It's live now. We got the legal stuff done up. We've got favor everywhere we looked and turned. And we've actually got a business running under the Hope Centre to hire out up to 450 chairs. And if 400 chairs got hired out every day at $2.50 each, I'd be a happy man. I mean, I'm a happy man now because I got the substance of it in my heart. But you see what I'm saying? God has justice for us, and it's better than what we're looking for. Amen? There's a grace on it. And so God has done that in our life, and we're excited. I'll tell you, I've never been more excited for quite a long time about the substance of what God has placed in our heart. We're going into business. I mean, my wife's already got a puppet business, etc. But see, his kind of justice is better. You see, God gives seed to the sower, and so it is under our nose. The answer is under your nose. God has given you seed. God has given you something which is going to lead to your breakthrough. It may not be 450 plastic chairs, but he's given you something. Gifts, talents, whatever. Okay? And so it doesn't pay to be offended at God. It doesn't pay to tell God how it's going to work, does it? No. His justice system is always better. It's always better. Hallelujah. And so like I said, the enemy is hell-bent on getting us offended at God. How many would just be honest and raise a hand and say, I've been there? I've been there, yeah. We've been there several times, probably, many of us, okay? And so, but we're not gonna go there, amen? We're not going to work that soulish old covenant eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, because it's like drinking poison and wishing that the other person would drop dead. Okay, it doesn't happen. No, you drink the poison, and in the meantime, they get blessed. Yeah. Lord, I've tithed. I've brought offerings. That person over there doesn't even tithe, and they got a financial breakthrough. It happens. Where's the justice in that? You know, at the end of the day, in the big picture, someone said, if you really want fair, then go to hell. If you really want what's fair, then just look at your life and go to hell, because that's fair. That's completely fair, okay? So we don't want that system. We don't want the work system. We don't want the old covenant justice system, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. On our good day, we do. But what about on the other 50% of our days? No, we want his justice system every day. Yeah, Father, things have been going well, but I'm still not going to count. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his own might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am exercising loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight. See, that's what God is doing right now. He's looking to execute the heavenly kind of justice in your life. Amen. And I believe one of the practical ways we can access that kind of justice is simply to sing. Sing, O barren. I mean, that was an injustice right there. God created woman to have the fruit of the womb. This woman had no fruit. She saw the married people around her were enjoying having their children, and she was barren. No kids. That's an injustice. But what does she do? Sing. And that, remember, that was after the cross. That was after Jesus spoiled the strong man and got the goods. He said, I will divide the spoil with the strong. Okay. Sometimes it takes a bit of strength when oppression is happening in your life for you to sing. But Paul and Silas did it in the inner prison. Basically, you could picture them standing like in a sewage pipe that was half full of sewage. That's what it would have been like, trapped. And they sang and they praised God. Why? Because they knew God's heart. God is a God of justice. You know, I began to think about John the Baptist. I believe now that John the Baptist could have got out of prison. Remember? John the Baptist came to such a place where he said, guys, go out and find out if that Lamb of God who I proclaimed about, just find out if he really is the Messiah. I've got my doubts about him now. Yeah. Remember, Jesus responded. He said, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. And John, blessed is he who's not offended. See, he's in a prison, but he's offended. Jesus, I paved the way for you. I laid down my life. I lived in a desert, and I ate desert food, telling everybody that you're coming, and this is how you treat me? You're the big shot now, the lame are walking, the blind are seeing, and I'm locked up in the prison? Jesus, I'm pretty ticked right now. I'm about to lose my head. And he did. I honestly believe that had he responded like Paul and Silas, he could have come out of that prison. I came to that conclusion this week. I worked that out this week. Amen. I don't know if that's much help to you now, John, but it might help somebody here. Amen. There might be someone here today who's found themselves contained, and it's been a while, and you're wondering, God, why? What the heck do I have to do to break this thing out? Sing. Do you remember that old song? A God of faithfulness and without injustice, good and upright is he. Ascribe greatness to our God the Rock. We read it, Deuteronomy 32. He is without injustice. God is not against you, he's for you. God has justice for you today. If you'll just sing, if you'll just praise him and lift him up and say, God, you're a good God. God, you're a faithful God. God, you haven't forgotten me in this prison. God, you love me. God, you're working it together for good in my life. God, I don't understand what's happening, but I know you're good, and I know my time to come out of this rotten prison has come, in Jesus' name. Woo! Hey, hey, we're coming out. We've been deceived by the devil too long. We're going to tear that devil's kingdom down. I know I can't sing, but when I feel the anointing, I like to try. God is faithful. God is just. Why don't we stand to our feet and access some heavenly justice? Where's Terence? Is Terence around? Okay, right. Well, that's an unjust bee, isn't it? That's a bad bee. You reckon we can handle singing without some instruments? Hey, do we know that song, Ascribe Greatness to Our God the Rock? Okay, well, maybe you can lead us. Greatness to our God the Rock. His work is perfect, and all his ways are just. Ascribe greatness to our God the Rock. His work is perfect, and all his ways are just. God of faithfulness and without injustice, good and upright is he. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, good and upright is he. Awesome, awesome. Hallelujah. Why don't you just take a moment now, and just if it's been an offense, just before the Lord, you and the Lord, just release that person. Just release that other person. Say, Lord, it wasn't worth it. I'm sorry. Lord, I thank you. I give you praise. Bless that person, Lord. I'm sorry that I had something against my brother or my sister. Father, I just give that to you right now. Bless them, Father. Cause them to prosper. Cause them to be promoted in their job. And Father, I just give you praise for what you're doing in my life. Hallelujah. Just give it to the Lord. Whatever it is, maybe a sickness, disease that's hung around. Okay, you've been asking why. Why is it taking so long, Lord? Just Jesus, you took it away. Jesus, I receive heavenly justice today. Oh, thank you, Lord. God of faithfulness without injustice. Now let's just lift up our hands and receive right now. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the greatest injustice that took place 2,000 years ago, where Jesus took everything that was against me on himself, my sin, my sickness, my disease, my poverty, my rejection, my isolation. Jesus took it upon himself. And Father, right now, I just come to you in simple faith, believing that all the blessings now belong to me. That I am blessed, and I am healed, and I am righteous, and I am forgiven, and I am made rich in Christ. And I fulfill my God-given purpose. So, Father, we thank you right now that the containment is broken in Jesus' name. I loose you from containment right now in Jesus' name. I loose you into your destiny. I loose you into blessing. I loose you into salvation. I loose you into healing. I loose your family into salvation, your extended family into salvation in Jesus' mighty name. Let's give them some praise. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Sing. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 The foundations are shaking. The doors are being unlocked. The chains are coming off in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Woo! Praise God. So remember, as you go out, when those thoughts come, sing. Catch the ear of the judge of the Supreme High Court of Heaven. Be blessed in Jesus' name.